Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
They're just people who have a theological position that basically says these things are not really important to the bigger picture of what happened on the cross, and so we don't need to try to figure any of this stuff out. It probably already happened in history anyway, so why bother? But even if it didn't happen, we can never make sense of it. That, there's a group of people that think exactly like that.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series titled The Story of God. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 through 14, in a message titled God's Faithfulness to His Word and His People. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
We're going to read together today from Daniel chapter 7. At least that's where we're going to start, so you might want to turn there. I want to say a few things before we get to the reading. But many of you know this. Maybe there are a few people who aren't aware that we are in this sort of a big picture look at the totality of Scripture. And we've been doing this. We're trying to do sort of this overview of the story of God in the Bible. So today we're looking at, you know, we've been looking at these sort of mini themes within the larger theme, and today we're looking at faithfulness in exile. And so we're coming back around to Daniel today, and today we're going to take a different angle on it. We're going to look at the faithfulness of God to His word and His people. So Daniel will be our text. So why don't you stand with me? And I'm going to read to us from Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 7, and then reading through verse 17. And so we read, "After that, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beast, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beast had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is the one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the vision that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached the one standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are 4 kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever." This is God's word. So here we are in Daniel once again. So Daniel is divided into, you could sort of divide it into two parts. The first six chapters are stories of Daniel's faithful witness and subsequent influence for Yahweh, the God of Israel, in the Babylonian and Persian courts. And so those first six chapters pretty much deal with Daniel's life in the Babylonian and then on into the Persian court. When you come to chapter 7 through 12, record the prophetic dreams and visions of Daniel that reveal the future of the world powers as they relate to Israel and the future of Israel in relation to the Messiah and his coming kingdom. So that's kind of the division of the book. Now, there's one little bit of an exception in the first six chapters, because in the second chapter, although the context is Daniel in the Babylonian court before Nebuchadnezzar, but there Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that has prophetic significance. And so there in chapter 2, Daniel gives the dream and the interpretation, which corresponds with the vision that Daniel sees in chapter 7. But again, for the most part, stories in chapters 1 through 6, prophetic dreams and visions in chapter 7 through 12. Now, as the book of Daniel brings us back around to the prophets. Now, in our big journey that we're taking through the Bible, we've already looked at the prophets. We've spent some time diving into the ministry of the prophets. But what we want to do today is to take a bit of a dive into predictive prophecy, which is something that we haven't touched on too much. This is a significant aspect of the ministry of the prophets. Now, when we think of prophecy today, like if I just said, if I was on the radio and I said, hey, this weekend we're going to be talking about prophecy, most people would think by that statement that, oh, we're going to be talking about the end times, we're going to be talking about the tribulation, the rapture, the Antichrist, and those kinds of things. And of course, that is a possibility, but we have to understand that to think of prophecy exclusively in terms of predicting the future isn't really the accurate understanding of prophecy. So what we need to understand is that the primary definition of prophecy is not foretelling or predicting the future, but rather it is forthtelling, which means it is speaking on behalf of God to people. So when you read the prophets are most of the time speaking on behalf of God to the people. They are saying to them, thus says the Lord, this and that. They're not most of the time saying, hey, this is what the future looks like. But of course, they are saying that at certain points. But I think we need to have the understanding that when we talk about prophecy, and when the Bible talks about prophecy, first and foremost, it's talking about the word of God that is being spoken by the servants of God. Now, we are today going to focus on predictive prophecy because that's what so much of Daniel is referring to. So, predictive prophecy is more often than not messianic. So in other words, when the prophets are predicting the future, more often than not, they're going to land at some point on the Messiah. Of course, we have prophecies concerning the first coming of the Messiah that Jesus fulfilled when he came, but then most of the prophecies about the Messiah actually have to do with what we know as the second coming. But even when a judgment is predicted, which is often the case with predictive prophecy, it projects beyond the judgment to the mercy and deliverance that will come through the Messiah. So a lot of the prophetic words to the nation were words of judgment. The prophet Isaiah warned the people of Israel about the coming invasion of the Babylonians, but the Babylonians weren't even in power at the time that Isaiah was prophesying. But he warned about this invasion that would come. But when he warned about the judgment that the Babylonians would bring, he would almost all the time go beyond that judgment to the mercy that God would bring through the deliverance that would come through the Messiah. Zechariah, I just referred to Isaiah, but Zechariah gives us a clear example of this. In chapter 14, let me just read you a few verses so you get exactly what I'm talking about. So here's Zechariah 14. A day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered and divided within your walls. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses will be ransacked, and the women will be ravished. That is clearly judgment that is being prophesied. So this is the future. God's saying there's a judgment that's coming. But then as you read on, it says, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. The Lord, my God, will come and all the holy ones with him. The Lord, Yahweh, will be king over the whole earth. Jerusalem will be permanently secure. So you see, it starts off with a judgment, but by the time you finish the verses in Zechariah 14, you have this promise of mercy and deliverance. Now, that's just kind of a little introduction to prophecy. With that background and keeping the text in mind that we read from Daniel 7, just keep that in the back of your head, I want to look at a few other passages in Daniel, beginning in chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. So just, if you've still got your Bible open to chapter 7, just flip over a page or so to chapter 9. And we're going to start with the first four verses, but then we're going to jump to verse 20. And we're going to read 20 through 27, that's to the end of the chapter, where God, through the angel Gabriel, responds to Daniel's prayer with a new word regarding the future of Israel and the world. I think you guys read this last week, if I remember. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. This is what Daniel says. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and I confessed. Daniel tells us what took place in his own experience and when it took place. At this point in time, he's meditating on the scriptures. It's interesting how that word appears here. The scriptures are a reference to God's word. So even back then, Daniel understood that Jeremiah, what he wrote were the scriptures. They were God's word. And he sees through the writings of Jeremiah that God had determined that 70 years of desolation would take place regarding Jerusalem. And so this would be the period of time that Jews would live in captivity in Babylon, 70 years. So Daniel recognizes that we're coming to the end of this period. We're coming to the conclusion of those 70 years. And so what Daniel does now is he begins to seek the Lord for what is next for the people. What's going to happen at the end of the 70 years? And so we read again here that he said, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Now, if you turn over to verse 20, we're just skipping the details of the prayer that he prayed. But as he's praying, verse 20 says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, which would be Jerusalem, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed or greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. So he's praying, Lord, forgive our sins, have mercy on us, restore us, What does the future look like is what is in the heart of Daniel as he's praying. And now the angel reveals to him. Verse 24, 70 sevens are decreed for your people. So they're coming to the end of the 70 years. So what's next? The angel says 70 sevens are decreed for your people and for your holy city. As you go through the prayer, this is what he's praying for. He's praying for Israel and he's praying for Jerusalem. And then he says this. He says, the decree is that transgression will come to an end, put an end to sin, atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up, which means to confirm or to authenticate vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Most translations read holy place, but the original just reads most holy. And then he says this, know and understand this, from the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one. This is the word Mashiach. This is the word we get our word Messiah from. So this is talking about the coming of the Messiah. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the ruler or the prince comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. So 7 and 62 equals 69. It will be rebuilt, Jerusalem, with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one, the Messiah, will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. There's a lot there. This prophecy is known frequently as the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And that's because the word sevens here, 77s are determined. The word sevens are often translated as weeks. The word heptad literally means seven, but often it referred to a week. So it is the prophecy of the 70 sevens. One of the most remarkable prophecies in all of the Bible. One of the reasons why it's so remarkable, and unlike any other prophecy, it actually gives the time of the arrival of the Messiah. Now, you might not know this, but this is a fact. Today, Jewish scholars today are baffled as to why the Messiah did not come before the destruction of the Second Temple, because according to Daniel, he should have. They think that. They literally think that something went wrong and Messiah didn't come. Rather than backing up a little bit and saying, well, maybe he actually came and we missed him. No, they've just concluded that somehow God's word failed because they even understood by this passage that Messiah would come before the destruction of the Second Temple. Just a bit of a side note there. So it's remarkable in that sense. And then as we see, the prophecy declares that at the end of the 77s, all of God's purposes for Israel and the nations will have been fulfilled, and everlasting righteousness will have been established by the Messiah. So at the end of the 77s, we have Daniel chapter 7 realized, the Son of Man coming and all authority being given to him. Now, let me just read again what it says in verse 24. 77s are decreed for your people and for your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up, confirm or authenticate vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So these are the things that will be accomplished by the end of these 77s. Now, we look, and we as Christians today, we know that there are a couple things here that have already been accomplished, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness. That, of course, took place on the cross. But as we look around, we see that transgression still exists. We know that everlasting righteousness has not been brought in. We know that visions and prophecies haven't been fully confirmed. And we know that the Most Holy has not yet been anointed. So there's a partial fulfillment here, but there's much of the promise that is yet to be fulfilled. Now, there are questions that arise here. The first of all is 77s. What is that even referring to? So 77s are decreed upon your people, the angel tells Daniel. Well, 77 what? 77s. Are they days? Are they 70 weeks of days? Are they maybe 70 weeks of months? Or are they 70 weeks of years? Now, 77-year periods or 70 weeks of years is the one that makes the most sense in light of what is to happen at the completion of the period. Some have said, oh, these are days that are being talked about here. But if you go out 70 weeks of days, you end up nowhere. That doesn't do anything. Even if you go out with months, you end up nowhere again. None of the things that are supposed to be fulfilled would have been fulfilled. Only if you go with years do you land historically in a place where it makes sense. Now, notice as we read this that the period is separated primarily into two different sections, but you could say also three, because there's, first of all, there's the first 7 times 7, then there is the next 62, and then there is the final one. But the first one and the second one are tied together to make a total of 69 7-year periods. 69 7-year periods equals 483 years. So we're talking about something that is going to happen from a certain point in time. 483 years later, something significant is going to happen. So the next question is, when is the starting point? When do you begin to count? And the angel tells Daniel, know and understand this, from the time that the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that's when the countdown starts. So when was this? When was there a decree to restore and build Jerusalem that set this time in motion? And scholars are divided on this. There's a group of scholars that basically says, we don't know, and we shouldn't bother to try to figure it out. It's irrelevant. Now, there are, and they're not necessarily what you might call liberal scholars. They're not people who reject the Bible. They're just people who have a theological position that basically says these things are not really important to the bigger picture of what happened on the cross, and so we don't need to try to figure any of this stuff out. It probably already happened in history anyway, so why bother? But even if it didn't happen, we can never make sense of it. There's a group of people that think exactly like that.
We have Pastor Brian in the studio. So excited to hear about what you have to say today.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. And yeah, just thinking about this message, God's faithfulness to his word and his people, we're looking at the promises that God made through Daniel, you know, about the future, of course, to Israel, but to all of the people of God, because this passage is dealing with the wonderful reality that one day Jesus, the Son of Man, is going to take charge of everything. And oh, we cannot wait for that day, can't we? So yeah, so I'm super excited about this. We listened to the first half of the message today, and then next time we'll wrap it up. But just a reminder to us, in the crazy world we live in, that Jesus is going to come and he is actually going to fix the whole thing.
Love to hear that. And if you've missed any of the series of The Story of God, please go to our website, backtobasicsradio.com, for resources, for other programs. And we just cannot wait. I'm telling you, this is so encouraging and brings us so much peace. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.